Elijah was a man just like us, uniquely created and crafted with love, deployed by God to go out and speak up, to offer a voice on God's behalf where the noise was too much. When God says go, he goes. When God says speak, he does. Elijah obeys at every turn, but being human like us, eventually he gets burned out. He says, "That's it, God. I've had enough. I'm done." And then he runs to the wilderness and he waits to die. He waits for the end. But while Elijah had given up, God had not given up on him. God still spoke. God provided. God sent. And there in the wilderness, Elijah obeyed yet again. Elijah goes before God and he says, "I have done what you've asked. I have said what you said. I have gone to these people over and over again, but I'm all alone and these people want me dead." And God hears Elijah. God sees this faithful servant and God says, "Come. Come to this mountain. Come before the Lord and let yourself be present. Come before the Lord and let your heart be expectant. Come, for the Lord your God is about to pass by." And so Elijah goes, and then the wind starts to blow. Like a whisper at first, but with each exhale, it grows. The whisper swells to a gust, the gust to a growl, and that growling wind has the power to split mountains, the strength to break stones. It makes the earth bend beneath it, and it turns the air to groans. But God was not in that wind. Elijah was still alone, and as the wind slows, the earth begins to quiver, the ground starts to break, the land is cracked, and those windswept rocks all start to shake, but there in the magnitude of a trembling earthquake, God is still not to be found. And as the earth calms down, at once it ignites, a warm murmur at first, and then a burst of glowing embers dancing their way to flames. All around Elijah is brilliantly, suddenly ablaze with light and fire and heat. But all of these things are just noise, and God wasn't in any of these. It wasn't until the earth is calm and the air was tame. It wasn't until the silence that a still small voice from God called Elijah by name. And aren't we just like Elijah? We seek answers in the noise, but the noise is too much. This world is so loud, and like the wind and the flames, that noise isn't God. That noise will never call us by name. This world and all that it has to say cannot fill our empty space. When we run to the wilderness because we've lost our way, God is still present. God remains constant, like sun is today, like stars are to space. When we choose to give up, God will never turn away. God will always remain, but it just might be that sometimes God waits for us to show up in that quiet, thin space so that God can whisper to us in a still, small voice and call us by name.
Okay, by show of hands, how many of you here this morning are native Texans, meaning you were born on Texas soil, okay? All right? My son Boyd was 6 months old when we moved here, and y'all will never let him raise his hand, even though, okay. How many of you, like me, are transplants here? That's about half and half, okay. All right, as the representative transplant for this room, I need to say something to the native Texans on behalf of the rest of us. Well, first, before I do that, we love this state. Thank you for allowing us to be here. It's a great place. My wife Amy and I intend to be here forever. We really, really like it. But there's one thing that's kind of annoying. And it's not about the state, it's about you. And it happens this time of year. It's hot in Texas. Every summer it's hot in Texas. And yet every summer, by this point, several of the native Texans that I know will come up to me and say, golly, it's so hot. And I'm like, I know, I've been here 10 summers. I've figured that out. You've been here longer than me. You should figure that out. And then every time they say something to the effect of, gosh, it just seems hotter than it's ever been. Or it's not normally this. That's not true. It is always hot. And I don't understand you native Texans with this whole, like, it's hotter than it normally is. Here's the deal about the summer. There are at least three things that are true about every summer. Here's one thing. Pools open and kids want to go to pools. Okay. Here's the second one. The Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers play in the NBA Finals. And LeBron James complains about foul calls every year. Justifiably so, I might add. And it's always hot in Texas. And Texans are always surprised by the 100-degree heat. Okay, look, here it is. It's here. It's going to be hot. Let's all just get used to it, okay? All right. Now, here's the thing. There are several things that are always true about summer. Now, here's something that I love about summer that I think most of us love about summer. While there are many things that are always true about summer, summer is also a time when our routine is broken, and summer is a time when new things can begin. You know, typically we think about starting new things, starting new habits, getting rid of old habits at the beginning of the school year, at the beginning of the calendar year. At least in my life, summer has always been the time that is the most ripe with the potential for change, for transformation. So, right here at the very beginning of the summer of 2018, what in the summer of 2018 might need to change for you? What at the end of the summer of 2018 do you hope to look back on and say, during that 2.5 months, this is what happened, this is what changed in my life? Because your routine's already different. Why not pick something in your life that you hope will look different 2.5 months from now? So the message this morning is really pretty simple. We're going to end receiving communion together. And before that, all I want to do is challenge all of us in here, myself included, to begin a process of thinking about, of trying to figure out what change might need to happen in my life the summer of 2018. And I can't get into the specifics this morning. That's like a you and a God thing, right? I just want to start the conversation and talk broadly about two different categories of things that might need to change in your life for 2018. And then I want to send you out first in a time of communion and then into some discernment about what might 2018, that's this summer, be about. Let me pray for us and then we'll dive right in. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for the time that we have together. We pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will guide us. Lord, as we look at some scripture, I pray that you will just unfold truth out of it and help us to see things that maybe we haven't seen before and help us to be inspired to know what it is that you are up to in our lives this summer. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we begin the summer, we're wrapping up a series that we've been in on Elijah. Elijah is an Old Testament prophet. He lived in about the 9th century BC. He lived during the reign of King Ahab, who was a very, very bad man, a very, very bad king, who reigned over the kingdom of Israel. And we've looked at a few things that he's done. And today, our last week with Elijah, we're going to look at two next steps that Elijah had to take. And again, hopefully this will be helpful to us as we think about our next steps going into this summer. Two next steps that Elijah had to take. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Kings 19. If you don't, that's no problem. I've got mine, and we're going to have them on the screens up here. So here's the thing. Elijah has already at this point done some pretty incredible stuff. He has resurrected a young boy from the dead. He has had a showdown with 450 prophets of another god that he won. We talked about that last week. And now he's gone off into the wilderness, and he's not really sure what to do next. In fact, he's entered into a time where he's pretty depressed. He feels like he's the only one who is faithful. He cries out to God and says, I'm the only one that's left. And he just doesn't really know what's next in his life. But God is faithful to him. And this is the story of how God's faithful to him and gives him that next step. So, beginning in verse 9, I think. Yep, 9. At that place, he came to a cave. So again, he's in the wilderness. Elijah goes to a cave, and he spent the night in that cave all by himself. Then the word of the Lord, this is the God Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, the word of the Lord came to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" This is a good question. It's a question that maybe God is asking you right now. What are you doing here as we're getting ready for summer? What are you doing here? Okay, this is how Elijah responds. He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord." That's you. "I've been very zealous for you, the God of hosts. For the Israelites, everybody else, all of the other people of God, have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. I am the only one left. And they are seeking my life to take it away. What am I doing here? Well, I think you know. I've been very faithful to you. I've been very zealous for you. Everybody else is turning away from you. I'm the only one left, and now people are trying to kill me also. God, that's what I'm doing here, okay? And this is what God says. Go. Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." This is Elijah's next step. Elijah's at a place where he is very, very depressed. He's at a place where he's not sure that he can move forward. He's at a place where he feels very, very alone. And what does God say to him? God says, "Go to the mountain of the Lord. I'm going to pass by there." Another way that he could be saying this is he's saying, not just go, but he's saying, "Come to me. Come and see me." That's your next step. Come and see me. So Elijah does that. And this is the story that Allison told in her poem just a minute ago. It's a pretty famous story. If you grew up in the church, you may have heard this before. "Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." Elijah goes up to the mountain. This is the experience that he has. "And after the wind, there was an earthquake up on that mountain. But the Lord was not in the earthquake." Elijah stays longer. "After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." There was great wind, there was a great earthquake, there was fire, but Elijah doesn't experience God in the midst of any of those big, grand, bold things. But after the fire, there was a sound of sheer silence. When's the last time you were so far out of the city that you opened up your car and you could hear the silence? Like when you took foot, like when you walked, you could hear your feet hitting the ground. It's that kind of sheer silence. And it's in that silence that when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then, finally, there came a voice to him that said what? "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Does this sound familiar? This is the same thing that God asked Elijah just a few verses before. And it's easy just to fly right over that and either not notice or not think that it's that significant, but just think of this for a second. He's in the wilderness. He's depressed. He's not sure what the next step is. God asks him this. Elijah answers. God sends him to the mountain. He has this experience, and then he asks him the exact same thing. What are you doing here? So again, a second time on the cusp of the summer of 2018, what are you doing? What are you doing here? And look at Elijah's response. He's just had this incredible experience. He answered. This may sound familiar. "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Does that sound familiar to you? It's the exact same thing, word for word, verbatim, of what he said earlier when he was in the desert. Look, he has, he says this, his conversation with God, he says this. He then has this incredible experience on the mountaintop, experiences God, and then what does he do? He says the same thing. Look, this is not the way it's supposed to happen. You're supposed to experience God and things are different. You're supposed to experience God and then you feel like you're in a different place. What are you doing here? But Elijah is still in the exact same place. Where are you? I've been really zealous for you, God. Everybody else has forsaken you. And now they're trying to kill me too. There are three parts of both of these conversations. The first two parts are exactly the same. But here's what God says this time. Then God said to him, go. Again, same first word. Go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, and then he gives him some instructions. Specifically, he tells him to anoint three people. And then he lets him know, actually, you know, Elijah, you think you're the only one. There are actually 7,000 others who are in the same boat as you that have not turned away from me. So you're actually not by yourself. The first time, God tells him to go to the mountain to be with God. And the second time, he says, go to other people and continue the journey that you're on. Continue fighting the fight that you're fighting. Continue going after the mission that you've already been on. Go to others and do something. I've read this passage a lot. But reading it in preparation for this message, when we were working on this sermon series with someone else who's on our sermon planning team, Dana Howard, who's here this morning, we were reading it together just a couple of months ago. We were so struck by the fact that Elijah says the same thing two times in a row. What is this story trying to tell us? Especially here, getting ready for the summer of 2018, what is this story trying to tell us about what our next step is? Let's look at the conversation in a different way. In both cases, God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And then in both cases, Elijah answers in the same way. I've been very zealous, says some other things. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. The first conversation, God responds by saying this. Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The second time, he says, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, do these two things. Same conversation at the top. At the bottom, one time God sends him to be with God. One time he sends him to be with other people. A way to summarize this is on the left, the first conversation, is what God says after Elijah tells him where he is he says, come and be with me. Come and spend some time with God. Come up to the mountain and spend some time with me, and I'm going to speak to you. And then he has this incredible experience. And then the second time, he doesn't give him the same next step. He doesn't say, come to me. What does he say? Go to others. Go to other people. You see, here's the unbelievable thing. God asks him the same thing. Elijah is in the exact same place. One of the times God says, come and spend time with me, and the other time he says, go and spend time with other people. And this, friends, is the rhythm of the life of a man and a woman of God. This is the rhythm. You go to God, and you go to others. And you go to God, and you go to others. So the rhythm of the Old Testament prophets. Spend time with God and then take what you experience in your time with God and take it to other people. It's the rhythm of the good kings of the Old Testament. Solomon goes to God and asks for wisdom. And then he goes out and he leads the people using that wisdom. It's the rhythm of the great saints of our day. It was the rhythm of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Spending time with God in the morning and then going out and serving others. It's the rhythm of Jesus himself. Escaping to a quiet place so he can just spend time with the Father, and then going from that quiet place to serve other people. It's the rhythm of the life of a man or a woman of God. Spend time with God and spend time with others, and then spend time with God and spend time with others. So you, as you're staring the summer of 2018 in the face, this summer, what might your next step as a man or a woman of God be? Now look, the next 2.5 months, you will have to have time of both of those things. You will have to have time where you're going to God, and you will have to have time where you're going to others. But over the course of the next 2.5 months, the summer of 2018, what for you are you sensing this summer needs to be marked by? Is this a summer where God is saying, come to me and spend intentional time with me this summer? Your rhythm is a little bit different. Your routine is mixed up a little bit. Is God saying to you, what I want you to do this summer is to insert into your routine more intentional time with me? Or is God saying to you, your routine's a little bit different, what I'd like for you to do is to insert some time this summer to spend more intentional time with other people. That you've spent some time with me and I feel like you're full up, and now it's time for you to go and get busy serving other people. For you, summer of 2018, what are you feeling like God is leading you to? More intentional time with God, more intentional time with other people. To get super practical, if you're feeling this sense that it's time for you to spend some more time focused on your relationship with God, here are three suggestions. If you're feeling like what it is that you need time to come to God, three suggestions. Here's something that you could do. Read a spiritual book. Get online, go to a bookstore, get a suggestion from somebody. Find a book that is going to lead you deeper down your path with God. Take it to the beach with you. Get up early in the morning, read it. Find something that's going to inspire you to go deeper in your relationship with God. Or spend more intentional time in prayer and scripture. We talk a lot about the first 15 around here. We have a reading guide, a Bible reading guide that I'm following. I know that lots of other people are also. We have hard copies in the back. You can also find it online. Or maybe the last one is just to, even during the summer, which is hard, to make regular church attendance a habit. Maybe you say, this summer, unless I'm sick or I'm out of town, I'm going to be at church on Sunday morning. Maybe even take it another step and say, the only reason I'm going to miss is because I'm sick. And even if I'm out of town, I'm going to find a church to go to. These are all ways that you can focus this summer on coming to God. If that's what you feel led to do, maybe it's one of these three things, or maybe it's something else. But maybe what you're feeling a sense is that this is a summer when you need to go to other people. And if you want to do that, then here's some suggestions. Test drive a ministry. You know, email somebody in our children's department or in our youth ministry or in our special needs ministry and say, hey, look, here's the deal. I can't commit to volunteering regularly next school year, but I can commit to giving it a shot this summer. So is there an activity that I can come to just one time, hang out with some middle schoolers and see what that's like? Is there a Sunday that I can come in at 9:30, or I can stay an extra hour at 11 o'clock and hang out with the third graders and just see what that's like? You know, we're opening this incredible building across the street early in 2019 for our youth and for our special needs community. Maybe test drive what it's like to serve with kids and adults with special needs. Just give that a shot this summer. No commitment, just test drive it. Maybe the next one is to challenge a friend. Maybe you've got a friend that you've got a good relationship with, and you just know that this is an opportunity for you to challenge them, maybe in that first category. Maybe it's to give them a book and to ask them to read it with you. Maybe it's to say, hey, I'm going to be at church every Sunday this summer. Will you come with me to challenge a friend? Remember, the last one is to get involved with some kind of outreach project. This church is so involved in the community and around the world, and we have many, many ways that you can get involved. And to get online and search for some of the service projects going on and get involved with one of those. Look, this summer is a summer that is ripe with the opportunity for change and transformation in your life. What are you feeling like? Is this a summer where God is saying to you, come to the mountain, spend some time with me? Or is this a summer where God is saying, get out of your house and go serve some other people? This is the rhythm of a committed Christian life. You come to God, and you go to others. And you come to God, and you go to others. Let me wrap up with just this one story to illustrate this. What are the other staples of summer, especially in our country, is baseball. You know, baseball's been around for a long time. Hopefully baseball will be around for a really long time. Baseball changed the summer of 1947 when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. And he changed it. It changed. One of the things that I don't think we celebrate enough is what catalyzed that change. What catalyzed that change was a partnership between two men, Jackie Robinson and the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers, Branch Rickey. And what the two of them had in common before they ever met was that they were both deeply committed Christians. In fact, they were both Methodist. They're both deeply committed Methodist Christians. And one of the things they talked about in their first meeting was how if this was going to be successful, Jackie in particular, both of them, but Jackie in particular, would have to display an unbelievable amount of patience and courage and humility. One of the lines from that conversation is in the movie 42, where Branch tells him, I need someone who's not going to fight when people attack him. I need somebody who has the courage not to fight back. You know how Jackie Robinson did that? This is well documented. You know how he did that? You know how he was a man who was able to go out there and have the ball thrown at him and hear those insults and all? You know how? Because before every game, you know what he would do? He would come to God and he would spend time in prayer. And then he would go out and be with others. And then the next day, he would spend time with God in prayer, praying for that patience, praying for that love, praying to be able to love even those that viewed him as an enemy. And then he would go out and he would be with them and he would be able to do that. And then he'd spend time with God in prayer. And then he'd go spend time with others. This is the rhythm of a committed Christian life. Spend time with God. Go spend time with others. Spend time with God. Go spend time with others. Summer of 2018, what is God calling you to do? What's he calling you to double down on? And if you can identify that and you can go all in on one of those two things, this is going to be a summer when God is going to do some pretty great stuff in our community. God is intending to do a lot this summer, and he wants you to be a part of it. So during communion, as you receive and as you sit there and pray, won't you be praying, God, what, right now, where I am, is my next step? God, we give you thanks for the time that we've had to spend together. We thank you for the story of Elijah that we've been able to dig into for 3 weeks now, and we pray that in the same way that you used him, that you'll use us. Lord, help us to see what our next step is. Help us to see how it is that you are seeking to use us this summer. Lord, either make it clear to each of us, to every one of us, Lord, make it clear, Lord, whether you are calling us to come to you this summer and spend some intentional time in devotion, or whether you're calling us to put a particular emphasis on getting out there and serving other people. Lord, help us to fall into that rhythm where we come to you and where we go to others. We pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.